Welcome to Leadership Talk. Today, Apostle Priti converses with Pastor Emmanuel Abiafi, who leads a ministry called Nations Call in UK, as he shares on how to set an example of being a leader in this generation. Stay tuned to be blessed.
Welcome to Leadership Talk Podcast. I'm so excited that you're tuned in today and you're downloaded this particular episode because you're about to be blessed, you're about to be encouraged, and you are about to be equipped. Today, I have a dear friend of mine, and I'm connecting with him almost after 10 years. And I've seen him when he was a student leader in a university here in India. He is from Africa, but he was studying here in India, and currently he's in the UK. Please help me welcome Emmanuel Abiafi. He heads a ministry by the name Nations Call. It is our joy and privilege to have him speak to us and share his heart with us. Man of God, welcome on this podcast. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Apostle Priji. Thank you for having me. So good to see you after 10 years. Wow,
yes,
what joy,
yes,
to connect
here
again.
God is so good. The way that the Lord has blessed you, the way that the Lord has led you over these last 10 years, we have been observing and watching your life from a distance, and it's so amazing how the Lord has brought you so far. We'd love to hear your story. We'd love to hear why you're doing what you're doing, why you're serving the Lord, how did the Lord speak to you, and how the Lord has brought you so far. We'd love to hear your story. Could you please bless our listeners a little bit of your journey of coming to the Lord and also serving the Lord?
Yeah, I mean, my journey go way back to 2002 when the Lord met me with my pastor in Nigeria. He had given me a prophecy that I knew was exactly from the Lord, and I turned and I surrendered my life to the Lord. Fast forward 2009, the Lord sent me to India miraculously. When I mean miraculously, Apostle Priji, I didn't expect it. That was not my plan. That was not what I wanted to do. But God said, nope, you're going to India. And I'll just share briefly what happened that I went on to India. I'd gotten this scholarship to study in Singapore, and I was refused from going to Singapore, and I turned to come to India. And the day I was given the offer, when I got the offer from the organization, I walked into my pastor's office to tell him about the offer. And he says, hey, before I told him, he says, hey, son, I saw you in a dream, and I saw a map. And in the middle of the map was written India. And God's going to send you to India. And I was so surprised. And I said to him, I said, I showed him the letter. I said, I just got the letter for an offer to go and study in India. And he says, yep, that's it. God's sending you over there. And that's how I got over to India and got to Esaram University, where we had the fellowship. In fact, I don't want to go into details of how the fellowship began and how the Lord brought us all together. We had a Nigerian fellowship and there was an Indian fellowship. And I happened to be attending the two of them. And one day I just talked to the leader of the Indian fellowship and the leader of the Nigerian fellowship. I said, hey, since we all believe in the same thing, the Lord Jesus Christ, the move of the Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, why don't we come together? Why are we having separate worship sessions? And that's how I brought these two leaders together and we became one fellowship. In fact, that's one of the things that I wanted to share from my experience. It's unity. Unity is so important. Unity is so important. Unity is one of the keys that God uses to build his kingdom. Unity. In fact, when I brought these two fellowships together, Pastor Priji, that's when the revival sparked in that college. The revival came out of our unity. In fact, we didn't care if who was Nigerian, who was Indian, who was Cameroonian, who was Ghanaian. There were so many of us there, North Indian, South Indian. We all came together, and that's how the revival sparked. I mean, I remember when you came with Apostle Prophet Shaiju, amazing man of God, and the miracles and the mighty things that happened in that campus. Unity was definitely one of the things I'll never forget.
That's amazing. And please share with us how the Lord has been speaking to you and using you for this season. And what is the Lord doing through your life and through you and through your wife? How the Lord has been leading you in this season.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that me and my wife were sharing, I've been looking on recently, was the kingship of God. You see, God leads us as his children, not only as a father, but as a king. You see, Pastor Preacher, one thing that God has told us, me and my wife, is anything I say to you, have to do it. Yes, he's my daddy. Yes, I can cry to him. Yes, I have intimacy with him. But we've learned to just match on with what he says. Anything he says to us is law. We have to abide by it. We have to run with it. In fact, in our times of prayer, sometimes she receives vision, I receive vision, and I say, you know what, I felt the Lord is saying to do this. And I say to her, you know what, let's pray about this. It looks impossible. But by the time she says, you know what, if God's saying it, let's go ahead and do it. And Pastor Preji, we have seen one miracle to another. From even the building we are using for our church, we decided, the Lord said, you know what, go on the ground. People send us so many links for different buildings, you know, internet. The Lord said, just go on the ground. Go on the ground and pray. And we just walked around the area. We wanted to get a building. And we just started praying. We just started talking to God. And we saw a building and we said, you know what, let's walk into this building. And we walk into that building. I said, Preji, you wouldn't believe this. This man opens the door and asks us what we want. And we say, we're looking for a building for a church. You know what he says to me? He stood there frozen. He says, this is impossible. I said, what do you mean? He says, my colleague just left this place and you came knocking. Do you know what we did? We just prayed for God to send the church to come and lease this building.
Wow, that is God. That is God.
Oh my Lord. Wow.
And man of God, that is what leadership is all about. Because as a pastor, as a prophet, as a leader of this community, you stood up and you began to hear from the Lord about which place you need to plant a church and which place you need to take and what kind of dominion you need to have. And then as you set an example and as you step out in faith, your community is able to pray along and they are able to believe with you and they are able to exercise that same authority and dominion that you have already seen and experienced in your spirit. So I want to ask you this question. How important is it for leaders, especially young leaders, those who are aspiring to do well in business or in ministry or in their homes, how important is it for us to lead with our own examples? You know, the example of our faith, the example of our purity, the example of our walk with God. How important is it for us to truly set an example for the followers, for those that we are hoping to influence? And how do we set that example?
You know, we can set by an example by intimacy. Pastor Preacher, you cannot fake intimacy. You cannot fake it. That's one thing children see in their parents. It's what they do, not what they say. What they say is great. Yes, children would replicate their parents. Children talk like their parents. They speak the same language they speak. But the children always watch what we're doing as leaders. The children see our leadership. The children know how intimate we are with God. And as leaders, Christian leaders, as pastors, as upcoming leaders, intimacy cannot be left out of the equation. In fact, intimacy is the most important. Intimacy would help you to understand the heart behind God's instruction. You see, Pastor Preacher, I think this is the struggle sometimes when we try to raise leaders. Sometimes we tell them certain instructions and we don't yet train them to understand the heart behind it. It's like when you tell a child, hey, don't climb this place because you could wound yourself. You could have an injury from falling. Sometimes they don't understand why you tell them not to climb. We give the instruction, but sometimes we fail to explain. And that's what intimacy does to a leader. Intimacy tells you the God's why. And knowing God's why, Pastor Creji, makes you unconquerable. anyone who has understood why God is doing what he's doing will completely transform whatever assignment he has given them to do. And knowing his why will come with intimacy.
That's amazing. And I think that sometimes we try to become a leader and to inspire people just because we think that I know better or that I have more information than everybody else. Whereas true leadership is about depending on the Lord, hearing his instructions for our lives, and then relaying it down to the next generation. And any time that our wisdom or our leadership skill is just based on what we have learned from our parents or what we have learned from our experience, if it is limited to that, then the kind of impact that we will make on the next generation is going to also be limited. But like you said, man of God, if we can truly be intimate with God, and that kind of intimacy, it cannot be faked, that is the best example we can set for those that are following us. And I want to know from your story, what are some of the sacrifices that you've had to make in order to pursue this intimacy, in order to stand clean before God, in order to stand clean before your community? What are some of the sacrifices that we will have to make in this generation at a time when everybody is trying to tempt us, distract us, make us compromise with the systems and the patterns of the world? What are some of the sacrifices that we should be ready for, you know, in order to really be the leaders that God wants us to be?
Yeah, one of the sacrifices I had to do was loyalty. I made up my heart, Pastor Preji, from my days of serving the Lord from India. Before in India, I was serving my pastor. And Pastor Preji, one of the things I learned was loyalty. Loyalty will cost you. Loyalty is not easy. To be loyal to somebody would not be an easy choice to make. Loyalty was one of the things that saw me through. It was a price I had to pay because of how loyal I was to God. I would go and I would see my pastor's car. I would wash it up. I say, "Hey, Pastor, can I just clean up your car? I just don't like the way it looks." And I would take my initiative. You see, when you're loyal to somebody, you're selfless to them. And it's so important that leaders learn to be loyal to God. So when it comes to sacrificing something, it becomes easy. When God says, "Give up that, empty that bank account. Do this for that person. Travel 2 hours to go and help my son or my daughter." You know, Pastor Preji, my wife and I will travel 2 hours to see a church member. In the hospital, wherever, we say, you know what, we're loyal to them. And that's one of the things we learned as leaders, that loyalty goes two ways. If you want to be a true leader, you must learn to be loyal to the people God has given to you. You have to learn to be loyal to them, because when they see that loyalty from you as a leader, they would replicate the same thing to those behind them and those God gives to them. And loyalty often costs a lot. I remember the days where we had to wake up, Pastor Preji, at 12:30 a.m. in the midnight to pray, to speak to the Lord, to fast. And we would go to the fields, me and a few of the brethren, we'll go speaking in tongues for hours and praying on our knees with mosquitoes and different things. And we'll just stay there praying. Pastor Preji, this was where the revival came from. We saw in that campus at Sarum University. Because we said, "Lord, you know what? We're not going to put our sleep before you. We're willing to sacrifice our sleep and comfort." You know, Pastor Preji, we had AC rooms. We were comfortable. We had everything as international students. You know, we gave up all that comfort because of our loyalty for God. And we would pray, and we were praying for souls, for people, the Hindus, the Catholics, and all these people who, the Buddhas, and the different students to turn to Christ. And Pastor Preach, I know you saw the people that came to know the Lord when you came down, when Prophet Shaiju was there. And we saw the souls that came to know the Lord. Pastor Preach, a lot of this was done on our knees. And it cost us. We, in fact, one of the nights we saw a snake. We had a snake pass through where we are. You know, we moved out of the... But we didn't stop, Pastor Pritchard. The next night, we were out again.
Wow. That kind of passion is what makes a leader. Because if you think that, you know, we can be just lazy or callous, or we can just take it when it comes to it, or, you know, we have a very casual attitude to what God has entrusted into our hands, we will seldom be successful. I have seen those that have desired to grow, let's say in their marriage or in their business or in their ministry, and they think that somehow everything will come to pass in God's time, and they are not aggressively pursuing it. They're not aggressively fighting for it. They're not praying towards it. They're not sowing seeds towards it. In your example, I see how you had a vision, but there was also this passion that fueled that vision. So you would go out and pray even when there were so many challenges, even when there had to be sacrifices that had to be made, even at the risk of danger. You know, even when you sense that there could be opposition and danger, you continue to pray. And that in itself is proof that you're a leader, that you're somebody who is driven by that vision. And I think sometimes as young people, we just follow whatever is happening in a church or whatever is happening in my community. And we are not driven necessarily by the vision that God has given us. Now, you know, in your case, I see how you are so persistent in following that same vision. 10 years later, I still see you being so persistent in following that same call and the same vision. Let me ask you this. Haven't you ever had moments of discouragement? And if you did, how did you overcome that? Because sometimes when you don't see results immediately after praying for 3 times, it is very easy for us to give up. When you have been doing the same thing, let's say for business or for your career, and you're trying to influence somebody, you're trying to start something, and you fail, it can be a natural response to give up and to be discouraged. So I want to know, what did you do when you were discouraged? How did you strengthen yourself on the inside?
You know, there's a scripture that I just got reminded of about King David. He says, the scripture says like this, it says, "And David encouraged himself in the Lord." You see, my wife is a great woman of God. I love her so much. She's amazing. And she's been a very strong support system to me, to myself, and to the church. But one thing I've learned out of my intimacy and my time with the Lord is, Lord, I want to hear your voice. If I could hear his voice, courage comes back. Just at the brink of COVID, we were building our church, we were growing, and COVID hit. With the heat of COVID, we lost, Pastor Pritchard, half of our members. Not that they got discouraged, they had to move because of loss of jobs, relocation. So they had to move out of London where we are based. And Pastor Pritchard, when you talk of discouragement, the wave of discouragement came. And some of them wouldn't take calls, some of them turned against us. And I said, you know what, I'm going to love them. I'm going to still pray for them. I'm going to persist, because this is what God showed to me in my younger days of 70 when I was unfaithful and I was not consistent and I wouldn't turn up when I said I would turn up. But God yet still picked me and had mercy on me and loved me. And I had to show people this thing. Pastor Pritchard, it's difficult, Apostle Pritchard, to love people when you're discouraged. It's tough, Pastor Pritchard. In fact, the things we teach as leaders, those are the times we'll have to apply them. Pastor Pritchard, I had to pray for this family who had left. You know, they didn't leave our church in a good way. You know, they had sent all sorts of talking conversations to another person to us. And they had certain reservations, but nothing to our fault. God is my weakness. But they had misconstrued some things that we had set in place as leadership for our church, and they misunderstood it and they didn't ask. So when the person came to tell us, we had responded to them saying, no, this is not why this was said. And we explained it properly. And by the time they heard it, they were so broken. And I said to them, you know what? I'm still here. If you want to talk, if you want to pray. And their son fell ill, and my wife and I prayed for them and interceded, and the boy survived. He was almost going to die. And the woman was so grateful to God. And Pastor Preji, sometimes the enemy could want to steal a life. But because God has given you that courage, and the enemy wants to steal that life, he takes them out of their covering. And this is an example I'll tell to leaders. Covering is very important. That you stay under your covering, your spiritual father, whoever God has placed over your life. It's very important. In your moments of discouragement, God will send help from your covering. Oh, I cannot overemphasize this, Apostle Preji. I can't overemphasize this. She had left her covering and almost lost her son. But because of the courage and my intimacy with the Lord, I was able to reach out. She was not the only one I was dealing with. There was a couple of other people, you see. And we had literally over 30 of members, and we just came down to 15. Think about all the labor, all the prayers, all the fastings, all the visitations, and they up and left. And we're standing with this few that remained in contact with us, seeing that boy surviving. In fact, the Lord showed me a lot of visions about his life, even at the time when they had gone away from our church. And I will write them saying, hey, you need to pray like this. You need to pray. I see this. The Lord is showing me this. And Pastor Preji, 80% of what I said came to pass. The enemy was after that little boy. But I said, you know what? I'm going to cover those the Lord has given to me, even when they are rebellious. And I think that's one of the things that leaders must learn. It's how to be patient. It's that patience. It's so important. And so seeing God bring forth testimonies out of difficult situations, Pastor Preji, I learned that I must pick up courage. You know, sometimes I have to call my pastor, my spiritual father. He's based in Nigeria. So being under your covering, Pastor Preji, is one of the ways I got help in my times of discouragement. Yeah.
That's really powerful. As young leaders, sometimes since we live in this quick response generation where we send a text message and immediately we get a text message, unlike back in the day when they had to send a letter and it had to be posted and it would reach the other venue and then come back by the end of the month. Because we live in this fast-paced generation, it is sometimes very hard for us to tell the young leaders to wait. It's okay if your results don't come quickly. The results will come if you continue to serve the Lord, if you continue to be persistent. That's your story and how you minister to that family, that even when there was discouragement, even when there was rebellion, you continue to serve them and you continue to bless them. And that's a big lesson for us to learn, how the Lord takes us through a process and everything doesn't happen overnight, and that we have to be patient. And man of God, you just nailed it when you said we have to be patient. How important is patience in a leader's life? I mean, like if we don't have patience, we are going to fail in our business. We're going to fail in our marriage. We're going to fail in ministry. We're going to fail in relationships. Every aspect requires patience. And thank you so much for sharing your wisdom with us. What would be the one advice that you would give to somebody young who wants to begin to serve the Lord, or who wants to start his own company, or who wants to go out there and start creating an influence and a change in whatever environments God has placed them? What would be that one advice that you would give them so that they can not just guard their hearts, but also stay away from any kind of distractions or temptations that can so easily take us away? You know, like this world that we are living in, it's full of temptations. Everywhere we turn, there is so much of, you know, money being thrown at us, lust issues that are, you know, a temptation. There is this temptation of fame that, you know, if you do this, you will quickly become famous. You will quickly attain this popularity. You will have so many followers, all of that. How can our young people that are starting off how can they protect themselves, guard themselves from any kind of temptations that the enemy is throwing at them?
Yeah. Number one is remain focused. Focus is so key. Focus is so key. A reminder of the laser light. The laser light has a focus. It knows where it's pointing at. You get the goal and you stick to it. You say, this is what I want to achieve, and you stay there. You know, I'm reminded of the story of David. David shared at the end of his life, I think it's in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, I think, where he talks about he was praying for Solomon. Pastor Preacher, one of the things he said was, Lord, give him a loyal heart. Give him a loyal heart. David knew that his loyalty to God was what kept him focused. The Bible says you cannot serve two masters. So the reason why many leaders and even business leaders are distracted by quick money is because they don't have who they're loyal to. They don't have integrity. You see, loyalty has a way of teaching you how to be integrous. Because when you're, it's like the Bible says, you can't serve two masters. You hate one and love the other. So when you're loyal to God, you'll become integrous like God. God is integrous. God does what he says. God doesn't speak one way and does another thing. No, he's very integrous to what he says. So integrity is key. Another thing I'll share with a young leader is kindness. Let's learn to be kind. If you will be kind, people will hate you for no just cause. Would turn and say, you know what, there's something unique about you. In the day of favor, they'll pick you over others. But as a preacher, I cannot tell you how much kindness has done to my life. Kindness literally has picked me out of the crowd. I would say to anyone, be kind. It doesn't matter. It could be the guy at the door. It could be the cleaner. It could be somebody that doesn't have any much significance about them. But your kindness to that those types of people around your life would open a very powerful door to you that you wouldn't expect. So kindness, integrity, loyalty has to be three things you cannot let go. And when I talk about loyalty, I mean loyalty to God. Or loyalty to a cause that you have chosen to achieve. Stay loyal to it. Hold on to it. Believe in it. The Bible says, make the vision plain that they that see it would run with it. Make it plain. Make it clear. So that the people with you would run in the same direction, not against you. Because if you're talking about integrity and the people with you don't see that integrity playing out in your life, they'll just take what you're doing for granted. They'll play with it. They'll joke with it. And I saw that all through my leadership life, Pastor Preji. Even I do business as well. I've learned to keep integrity as my key. To bring the contract, bring it out plain, write it out. Let everyone party involved know all the clauses and their meanings. You know, it's very important that you stay integrous. Very important.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I'm sure that our listeners are blessed today. If they have to get in touch with you or be connected with your ministry, what are some of the ways that they can connect with you on social media or website or email, or what's the best way that they can reach you?
Yes, so you can reach us on an email. It's a nations call London, just nations with an S, and call London at gmail.com. Our social media is Emmanuel Apiafi. That's my Instagram. The same name on Facebook as well, Emmanuel Apiafi. Our church is called Nations Call London. It's same Nations Call London on Instagram as well. You can inbox us on Instagram. The accounts will respond to you as well if you want to reach out. Yeah, if ever you're in London as well, our church is at King's Cross.
I'll leave the links for all of that in the show notes, and I'm sure that some of our listeners would love to connect with you and get in touch with you as well. And on a concluding note, could you just speak a word of prayer, and whatever the Lord leads upon your heart, just bless our listeners and just pray for them.
Yes. Father, I just thank you for everyone who will be listening to this, Lord. Lord, I just come against that spirit of discouragement. You know, I don't know who will be listening to this that's about to give up. Maybe you're about to give up. And I just felt while I was just asked to pray to tell you, do not give up. Don't drop that pen. The Lord says, keep writing the vision. Keep writing it out. Even the things that look too big, he says, that's why it's the vision I have given you, because it's bigger than you. You are going to need me to fulfill it, says the Lord. You're going to need me. You're going to need my assistance, my help to fulfill that vision and that dream. Father, I thank you for any families listening to this, couples, men, women who are involved in businesses and in ministry and leadership, leaders who are serving the Lord together. I pray that there will be unity first in the home, Lord, that they will take the unity from the home into the church, into their business, into whatever they're doing, Lord. We thank you that the enemy will not come in between any man and any woman in Jesus' name, that they will raise their children in the fear of the Lord, that they will teach their children the ways of the Lord. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Lord, I pray that these few words we've shared today will give somebody direction and give somebody meaning. I just felt someone that would be listening to this would also be dealing with confusion. Lord, I just come against that spirit of confusion, where the enemy has lied to them to tell them, oh, you're not a great leader. You don't have all the skills. You don't have what it takes. You don't have the confidence. Father, I just come against that lying spirit that has caused confusion in their head, that they would know what God has called them to do and who he has called them to be. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for a time like this. I just thank you for Apostle Preji and his precious family and his church. I thank you for the work they're doing in Bangalore. I thank you. I just felt the Lord said the season ahead will be that of a larger building. I felt like you have this place where it's like 100 meters. But the Lord said, I'm doubling the space, says the Lord. I'm doubling the space. I'm doubling the space because the hall cannot limit what I'm about to do. The space cannot limit it, says the Lord, because I will expand it. I will expand it because I'm about to bring in the flood. The floodgates were just open. I just saw young people coming in. I saw middle-aged people coming in. I just saw them walking right through the door. I saw them broken, tired, weary, discouraged, just coming through the door. For the Lord said, the building will not be so long. For you, will need a bigger space. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much one more time, dear man of God. Thank you for joining us today. And we are looking forward to hearing great testimonies from what the Lord is doing in your ministry in the city of London and in the nations of the earth. And thank you so much for joining us. In fact, friends, if you're blessed today, do write to us and do let us know what is the one thing that the Lord spoke to you, blessed you, and where the Lord touched your heart. Until next time, continue to be a leader that imitates the lifestyle of Jesus.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Hope you were blessed. Do visit pastorpriti.com/podcast to subscribe for more resources related to leadership and various topics.